Bro. He must have left a spark of light inside her when he cleansed her of penumbra. Light equals love. Love equals light. Light is poison to the creatures here. She saved us. She gave up the little light she had to save us. This doesn't matter, I say, but my chin trembles. She's going to appear somewhere else in the realm, and we're going to save her. We're going to save them all. I won't believe anything less. That's why we're here. We have to keep going. Okay? All right? How do you know she'll appear elsewhere? He demands. How? I just do. Because I have to. Nothing else is acceptable. 10, he says, and his whole body shudders. Grief encompasses him. A dark cloud. A sign of another impending storm. I just got her back. I just cleansed her of penumbra. She was going to defect. I would have been her barrister. And this time, she would have succeeded. We were going to talk about our future. Make things official. I love her. I've never stopped loving her. Tears sting my cheeks. I know. You have every right to be upset. I know your pain. I know he failed to save her once before, dying when she needed him most, and he thinks he's let her down again. But suck it up! Wallowing will get us killed, and we have to move on. Now fight!
Chapter 27. Lies have no foundation. In a storm, lies will always fall, and truth will always remain standing. Troika. Killian. At last, my escort reaches the infamous hills. Mountains, really. Each one has been hollowed out, hordes of birds and prey inside. Outside. I shudder. The eyes belong to creatures I've never before encountered. Small of stature with the fangs and the forked tongue of a snake, the shell of a turtle upon their backs, shells that are lined with bony spikes, and the arms and legs of an alligator. But those eyes, they are neon red, watching me as I soar overhead. Abject hunger sharpens the air, made worse by the fetid scent of death saturating every burst of wind. I watch as another bird flies by and drops an unwitting victim to the creatures. What happens next? Bile rushes up my throat, threatening to empty my stomach. The creatures, monsters, react instantly, caught up in a feeding frenzy, biting into the guy, ripping his limbs from his body. That is what 10 and the others must face. If she's harmed, there will be nothing I can do about it, not until I escape. And I will escape. I must. The closer we came to our destination, the louder the screams became. Now that we're here, those screams are deafening. Millions of them clash in terrible disharmony, blending with moans, groans, and grunts. My ears ache from the assault. I drop a leaf on the hill of my carrier's choosing, though I wish I could keep it. For medicine, yes, but also as a weapon. Something I've noticed. The animals and insects bolt away rather than touch the leaves. Unfortunately, I just discarded my last leaf. We descend down, down, down into the depths of the mountain. There's an uncountable amount of tears, though my sweet 10 will somehow find a way, I'm sure. Upon each tier are equally uncountable nests. Inside most of those nests are skeleton birds that are feeding on their prey. Spirits. Myriadians I've met over the years. Myriadians I've watched die. There are others, of course, so many others. But whether they are Myriadian or unsigned, I'm not sure. My mother is in one of these mountains, one of these nests, 10's mother too, aunts, uncles, and cousins I never knew, colleagues I lost in battle. None of the victims notice me, too lost in their pain. For most, limbs are missing. For some, bones have been picked clean. Torsos are cut open, organs missing, just like the image I saw inside my head. My gaze scans, searching for my mother. I tense as my gaze collides with Sloane. She's here, trapped inside this mountain. My stomach churns. She's awake, though pieces of her heart are missing. One of her legs stops at the knee. She opens her mouth to speak, or scream. I'm not sure which. Either way, she's too weak. No sound emerges. The bird releases me. I tumble through the air before landing in a nest of my own, a single tier down from Sloane. In an instant, thorns stab and snare me. Black vines reach out to wrap around my neck, wrists, and ankles, rendering me immobile. A bird in the nest next to mine spots me, looks at his own meal, a little bit of muscle left on a skull, and decides I'll make a tastier treat. He hops over, but my captor dives into him, and the two fall from the tier. They plummet down, down, pecking and clawing at each other along the way. I struggle against my restraints, old wounds bleeding more, faster. New wounds tear open, and weakness sets in. I do not stop. Thoughts of escaping, of doing everything possible to clear the way for Ten, drive me. Those turtle things, how can I force them from the hills?
Killian.
Sloane's voice, weak, thready.
Don't fight. Makes worse.
Must. Accepting abuse isn't in my wheelhouse, but all too soon my captor returns. Though his skull possesses no eyes, he seems to stare straight at me, and he radiates hate and hunger. He squawks with triumph at the sky before using the tip of his beak to slice open my chest cavity and tear off a piece of my heart. The pain. A scream bubbles my throat, but I swallow it back. Screaming is too much like begging. The bird takes another bite, and another. Not just pain, agony. Darkness closes in. Welcome, darkness. I'm not sure how much time passes before my eyelids crack open, consciousness jarring me. One moment I'm blissful, lost in dreams of Ten. The next I'm aware of my throbbing head and the torment rack in the rest of me, a chorus of sobs. At first my surroundings are blurry, blink, blink. As my vision clears, I look around with dry, burning eyes. My captor is gone. So are all the other birds, a welcome miracle. I look at my body, distressed by the thought of what I might find. Elation sparks. My limbs are still attached and bits of my heart remain. I'm only missing a kidney and a section of bowel. Only. A near hysterical laugh escapes. How sad is it that I'm elated only a kidney and bowel were eaten?
Killian.
A weak voice sounds from above me. Lifting my head proves difficult, pulling against the thorns still embedded in my neck, but I do it. My gaze lands on Sloane. She's leaning out of her nest, her skin ashen, her cheeks sunken.
You died.
She says, her lip trembling.
How?
One of her tears splashes onto my forehead.
Long story.
And I'm not sure I have the strength to tell it. Where are the birds?
Yours retched after feeding from you and flew off. Nothing like that has ever happened before, and most of the others followed him.
I've been saved from round two of torture, but for how long?
I wish I had a way to save you,
she says, her voice breaking as if she's fighting tears.
No one has ever found a way. Some of these people have been here for decades.
Decades of this? What's sad is I'm sure there are millions of spirits who have been here longer. Will I be one of them? No way. Ten has never let me down, and she never will. We're going to be rescued, I say. Help is on the way. Hope glimmers in her blue eyes.
Ten is coming for us?
She is. The corners of Sloane's mouth lift.
If anyone can save us.
She can. She will. I have faith.
Myriad. From H_S_3/51.3.6. 2. Z_C_4/23.43.2. Subject. Prepare your army. Also, prepare our abrogates in Myriad as well as the land of the harvest. Troikan soldiers are headed this way. It's on like Donkey Kong. Might equals right. General Hans Schmidt.
Myriad. From Z_C_4/23.43.2 to H_S_3/51.3.6. Subject. We have a problem, sir. I've just learned some distressing news. One of our subjects, Lena Lockwood, Tenley's aunt, has bonded to a Troikan general. He's the one we captured, Alejandro Torres. The two are now missing. How would you like me to proceed? Might equals right. Sergi Chen.
Myriad. From H_S_3/51.3.6. 2. Z_C_4/23.43.2. Subject. Forget them. There's nothing they can do to stop us. They're a distraction, nothing more. Proceed as commanded, and focus on annihilating the incoming army. Might equals right. General Hans Schmidt.
Chapter 28. Some lives are more necessary than oxygen. Myriad. 10. Time is running out. Energy, too. We've been following Killian's trail without a single break, only pausing to fight when challenged by a monster, plant, or insect. We win. Every time we win. But every battle takes something from us. A little hope. A little strength. I've been counting the minutes inside my head, and we are a mere 2 hours away from the reset of the realm. A.K.A. 120 minutes. A.K.A. 7,200 seconds. That means he's been with the birds for 22 hours. A.K.A. 1,320 minutes. A.K.A. 79,200 seconds. He could have been tortured and killed multiple times already. If we fail to find him in time, we can't fail. I'm tense as we stumble this way and that. Trees hiss, and leaves snap their razor-sharp teeth. But nothing else challenges us. Maybe word is spread. Try to stop us? Die. Up ahead, a lavender leaf glows. The next beacon. One more step closer to Killian. I've pocketed every leaf he's dropped. When we find him, he's going to need an infusion of strength. Urgency burns inside me, and I quicken my pace. The others follow without complaint. Finally, we make it out of the forest, and enter a clearing without trees. Ahead looms a dry and barren landscape. Mist, and... I gasp. Mist clears, revealing hills. So many hills. We did it! With a whoop, we rush forward, only to stop when we're roughly 500 yards from the first hill. What looks to be black tar is smeared over the ground. Thousands of... alligators? Kind of. There are differences. These creatures, whatever they are, form a circle around each of the leaves that lead to one particular hill. What are those things? I ask, pointing to the creatures. Kayla and I used to call them land sharks, Reed says. At the first scent or sight of lifeblood, they erupt into a frenzy. Don't worry. Archer eyes the creatures as if he's hungry and could use a snack. I'll distract them. He wants to avenge Dior's death, and I understand. A good portion of his light died with her. Now he hopes to join her wherever she is. And she is somewhere. I will believe nothing less. I reach out, take his hand, and squeeze. You'll get her back, Beau. We'll find Killian, then we'll find a way to free the spirits. We can free the spirits if we figure out a way to do something no other ordinary citizen has done since the dawn of time, he grates. We've already done something no other ordinary citizen has done, I remind him. We are Troikans, and we entered many ends, and did you ever think you'd see Killian Flynn happily married? Face it, I'm a miracle worker. One corner of his mouth twitches, some of his tension easing. I never thought I'd see Killian Flynn married, period. And don't forget, Clay is in one of these hills, too. So is my mother. So is Killian's mother. I'm not going to rest until everyone is free of many ends. Don't forget we've got to pass through the creatures first. Ronan unstraps the two branches that are hanging against his back, places one end in the ground, then lets the other end fall toward our foes. I think I have an idea about how we can do it, and survive. The creatures squeal as they scramble out of the way to avoid any kind of contact with the wood. Smiling now, Reed nods, I get it. We walk across the branches. As we move forward, we drop another branch, then pick up the one behind us. Giving him a pat on the shoulder, Ronan says, Exactly, my friend, exactly. It could get us killed, but it could also maybe, hopefully, probably work. Really? What other choice do we have? Find the doorway, save the day. If the hills have eyes, everyone dies. To win the fight, you'll need light. So how do we blind these fiends? I ask. Ronan pops the bones in his neck. Whatever the answer, I call first kill. We're running low on light, Reed says. We've got to have more. Understatement of the year. The weaker you are, the harder it is to draw on love. We've been eating leaves from the tree of life, but we want to save as many as possible for any spirits we find. We're going to have to risk it, Archer says, his tone firm. I'll go first. Ten and Reed will take the middle. Ronan will take the rear. Nope, no way. I shake my head, tendrils of hair slapping my cheeks. Think about it. Weight has to be evenly dispersed across the branch. The two lightest take the ends, and the two heaviest take the middle, becoming our center of gravity and preventing us from tilting one way or the other. That puts me in the front, you and Ronan in the middle, and Reed in the rear. There's no reason to waste time debating my plan, and every reason to hurry. As my heart thumps against my ribs and sweat runs down my spine, I clutch my spear to use it for balance, draw in a breath and onto the plank. Every single creature eyes me like I'm some kind of tasty treat. Several even step closer while sharpening mental forks and knives. My friends go still, and I know they're debating the wisest course of action. Wait, I say. If the hills have eyes, everyone dies. Eyes. Eyes. Perhaps Aunt Lena meant... Well, why not? Pushing my weight into my heels, I stab one of the creatures directly in the eyes. Jab! Jab! Destroying one peeper after the other. The land shark squeals a high-pitched sound of pain as black goo sprays from the injured sockets. Other creatures leap onto its back, devouring every inch of it, even its bones. Steady, steady. During the frenzied feeding, I stab three more land sharks in the eyes, causing another frenzy. Be ready, I'm stepping forward now, I say, fighting tremors. As Archer steps up behind me and stabs two more creatures, I take my next step. The feeding continues. More goo sprays in every direction. The fetid scent of rot saturates the air, and the sucking, slurping, chomping sounds. I shudder. On three, I say. One, two, three. Archer and I step forward, allowing Ronan to move on to the branch without tipping us over. He stabs four of the creatures, and we motor forward a third time, allowing Reed to claim the rear of the branch. Jab! Jab! I blind another creature, and wobble. My thudding heart almost stops as Reed wobbles, too. Archer plants a hand on my shoulder, steadying me. He also plants a hand on Ronan's shoulder, and Ronan plants a hand on Reed's shoulder. We're a unit, a team, balanced by each other, and surrounded by monsters. Must stay calm. All right, I say. We step forward, stab a land shark, then step again. I hope everyone's ready, because we're doing this on my count. No time to waste. 3, 2, 1! We step forward, stab the land sharks, then step again, as planned. For over an hour, we repeat the action again and again. The only problem? We're at a point of total exhaustion, and we're only halfway to Killian's Hill. Reed wobbles, and though Ronan tries, he is unable to steady him. Features contorted with panic, Reed places one foot on the ground beside the branch, just for a second. Only a second. The land sharks rip into his ankle, removing his foot. Falling, he screams. Ronan reaches for him while Archer reaches for Ronan, and I reach for Archer, but we're too late. Reed topples, and the land sharks instantly pounce. His screams end as quickly as they began. His voice box gone. Just like the rest of him. I suck in a breath and fight a wave of tears. My chin trembles. My heart aches and bile burns my throat. I can't even process what such brutal, savage violence rendered so quickly. We'll save him, I say, my mouth dry. This can't be the end for him. We'll add him to our to-do list. and we'll save him. We must. Archer scrubs a hand down his face. How is he going to revive from that 10? Tell me, please. He's a spirit. Spirits never die, and his lifeblood wets the ground even now. Blood is life. He'll regenerate. He must. This can't be the end of Reed. It just can't. We'll save him, I repeat. If a spirit never dies, where's Reed now? Archer spreads his arms to indicate the entire sub-realm. I don't know, okay? I don't know. But I don't have to know how mana works either, and yet it still heals me. Every time. So zip your mouth and get your budding gear. I wobble, and my stomach seems to drop into my ankles. When I steady, I clear the lump from my throat, and with a gentler tone I say, I don't have all the answers. I never have. I only know I have to do this. I can't stop. I have to believe good will come from this, or I will have no reason to motor on. I've lost too much already. We gonna stand here debating something we can prove with action, or what? Ronan demands in typical Ronan fashion. He's right. I will prove the spirits in many ends can be saved, even spirits like Reed. Let's move. Only 55 minutes to go. Our destination is ahead. Still so close, still so far. Time continues to tick and tick fast. We move forward together and stab the eyes of the land sharks in unison. Again, then again, and again. 41 minutes. Symphony number 41 is the last symphony created by Mozart. 29. The atomic number of copper. Like Archer's eyes. 13. Apollo 13. Known by some as a successful failure. The rocket failed to land on the moon, but much was learned in the rescuing of the crew. Our mission will be a successful success. 8, 7, 6, 5. How much time before everything resets? Archer asks. Sweat pours from him. 4 minutes, 13 seconds. Will the hill switch places? 0. What will we do then? We must be on Killian's hill. I don't care how tired you are. Pick up the pace, Ronan commands. I obey, drawing from my love for Killian and all my friends. I find a reservoir of strength. At last, we reach the desired hill, bypassing the land sharks completely. I'm trembling as I pick up the final lavender leaf. What if everything we're doing is for nothing? What if we're stuck here? Ugh, doubts suck. I can't let them lead me. They'll take me down a dark path. Without hope, there is no light. That means hope is a necessary weapon right now. What's next? Ronan asks. Are we supposed to go through or over the hill? There are no caves that I can see. Archer wipes sweat from his brow. So, we go up. Great. Makes sense, since we're dealing with birds. My muscles burn and strain. My entire body trembling as we trudge up, up. My lungs feel as if they're melting. 4 words keep me motivated. Save Killian. Save everyone. If we have to fight anything, we're going to lose, I rasp. I'm almost tapped out. 2 minutes. Leaf, Archer says. Left with no other choice if we want to win, we each consume a leaf. The last will allow ourselves. Our supplies are running low, and what remains will be passed to Killian and the others. Wait, you know what I don't hear? Squawking, Ronan says. Maybe the birds are gone. But why leave? With a new boost of strength, we increase our pace. But we aren't yet all the way up when the entire world goes black. I gasp and stumble, rendered blind as another reset takes place. What will we find when... The darkness flees, revealing an island littered with hills, surrounded by water rather than tar and alligators. Water as far as the eye can see, surrounding the hills. If we'd been any lower, we would have drowned. Dread, dismay. This is the lake, the one with the portal into the kennels. Carnivorous mermaids swim beneath the surface. But okay, this isn't a bad thing. Our portal home is a dive away. Did Lena time my death so that I'd be on the hills when the lake appeared around them? I'm still on my knees, gripping hunks of grass and dirt. Realization. We're still positioned on Killian's Hill. Come on! Heart hammering, I write my position. We need to reach the top before the birds come back. Chapter 29. As long as there's breath, there's hope. Troika. 10. Ronan reaches the top first, only to rear back, nearly falling down the side of the hill. As every muscle in his body seems to clench, he drops to his knees. The color drains from his cheeks. What is it? Archer demands. He reaches the top next, and has the same reaction. My stomach turns. What do they see? Help me! I plead, stretching out my arm. Archer's eyes are pools of shock when he faces me. He takes my hand and hoists me to the top of the hill, a ledge. The inside of the hill has been hollowed out, and... air wheezes between my teeth. There are thousands of nests, each one occupied by a person or two. Or really, the remains of a person or two. Moans and groans assault my ears. I can't. I don't. Where is Killian? The sense of rot, punctured bowels and shredded bladders reach me, and my stomach stops churning in favor of heaving. I lurch forward to vomit. Bye-bye, precious leaf. And so sorry, person underneath me. We were right. No birds. Ronan's words blend with the anguished chorus. I wipe my mouth with the back of my hand and call, Killian! Where are you? What horrors has he endured? A terrible pause as I wait, hoping, praying. What if his final leaf blew away from another mountain? The right mountain. Finally, I hear a weak and broken, Lass. One word. Only one, but still my heart leaps. My gaze scans. Oh, please. No. Killian is sprawled inside one of the nests, his chest cavity split down the center, exposing muscle, bone, and multiple organs. I press a quavering hand over my mouth. Hot tears well in my eyes, spill down my cheeks. I feel like I'm crying rivers of acid. Just hang on, love. My voice trembles. We're going to... What? We've come so far, and Killian is down there, helpless. He needs me now more than ever. All of these people need me. But I don't know what to do. I glance at Archer, who is scanning the nests in search of Dior, just in case she reawakened here. I glance at Ronan, who is chalk-white, staring at someone I've never met. I glance at the multitude of other victims. My gaze lands on a girl I don't recognize. I inhale sharply, my horror magnifying. I do recognize her. This is Sloane. Once luxurious blonde hair is now tangled, caked with things, and thinned out. She has bald spots where birds have picked her scalp clean. One of her eyes is missing, and one of her legs. She's in worse shape than Killian. Mouth drier by the second, I call, Hang on just a little longer. We're going to free you. How? How can I keep my word? A sob escapes her. Hope and relief glimmer in her remaining eye. Miss Lockwood. A feeble voice catches my attention. Please, help me. I study the mass of faces and find Dr. Vans, the former leader of Prynne, and once my greatest tormentor. Hatred pricks me, attempting to worm into my mind and heart, but I resist. Hatred equals darkness. Darkness equals weakness. Bitterness will not poison me. Not again. No more shadows, please and thank you. I will do the right thing. Save one, save all. I can't pick and choose. Squawks sound in the distance. Stiffening, I whip around and spot large black clouds in the distance. No, not clouds. Birds. They are returning to their nests. Panic showers me with ice, determined to slow me, ruin me. They're coming! And there are too many for three lone, exhausted Troikans to fight. We're in no shape to challenge them, Ronan says, especially on their home turf. Archer squares his shoulders. We have only one weapon capable of keeping those birds away. Our light. Searching the grid, searching, on the lookout for any rooms where extra light might be stored. I find none, and my chest tightens. No light, no hope. No hope, no victory. I call on my love for Killian and the others, but I'm tapped out, so weak. I try to open one of the doors in the grid just in case, but none of the knobs will turn. I'm locked out? We're here, Miss Lockwood, and we're ready. Open your link to Killian, then your link to your fellow Troikans. The voice overtakes my mind, familiar and welcome. General Alejandro Torres. He's alive, and he's here, in many ends. But I'm not bonded to him like I am to my friends. What do you mean you're here? Though I'm speaking with Alejandro, I keep my gaze on the birds. Closer. I'm inside Myriad with your aunt. We're bonded. It's a long story best told when we have time. The other generals are outside of Myriad. According to your guardian, Ambrosine planned to flood our grid with shadows, weakening us. Now, we're going to use the Second King's plan against him and flood the Myriadian grid with light. The citizens will be weakened, my soldiers will enter the realm, and the final battle will be waged. Too much information to process. Every bit startling. What strikes me with the most force? Alejandro is the general my aunt married. Shock demands answers now. Now, but he's right. Later is better. Time is short, and this is everything I've wanted, wrapped up in a satin bow. This is help. Except if the general is wrong, or this is a trick, I'll expose everyone I love to Myriadian shadows. Exactly what I fought to prevent during Javier's torture. Closer still. Guess we have no other choice. Ronan's tone is resigned, as if he knows he's going to die but plans to go down swinging. Get ready to engage. There's no time to think this through. I didn't trust my team before and it cost me dearly. I won't make the same mistake again. Don't fight. Just trust me. I grab both Archer's and Ronan's hands. Concentrate on your bond to me, while I concentrate on my bond to Killian. If we stand here, Archer says, we'll be. Please, I beg. And then I decide action is better than words. I close my eyes and do as promised, concentrating on my bond to Killian while dropping my shields. Whoosh. One of the doors springs open of its own accord. That exact moment, light floods me. Light from the people of Troika. Not just Alejandro and the generals. So bright, nothing brighter. But laborers and leaders, headhunters and messengers too. My aches and pains vanish. Amazing warmth invades every inch of my body, then spills from me into my friends. Too much, Ronan grates. Too much for us to contain. I've experienced this before, when I cleansed Dior of her first case of penumbra, only on a much smaller scale. As conduits, we have the power to share. So share it, now. Just like that. Light explodes from our pores. We're lifted off our feet, held suspended by magnificent rays of light. We soar, shining so brightly, empowered by light, by love. We are war horses, each of us, ready for battle, refusing to give up, even when the odds are stacked against us. Nothing is impossible for us. Victory is ours. Victory will always be ours. As quickly as the light hit, it disappears. We collapse to the ground. Panting, I blink open my eyes. I'm flat on my back, staring up at a bright light that isn't coming from the boys. No, it reminds me of a sunrise in the land of the harvest. For a moment, I imagine children playing in the streets, laughing together, ice cream melting in dirt-smudged hands. Sitting up gingerly, I survey many ends, and a fresh dose of shock saturates my cells. The birds are scattered on the ground, dead. Mermaids float atop the surface of the lake, dead. The hills are gone, the land flat, millions of people lying all around me. Missing limbs and organs have been replaced. Everyone is healed and whole. Archer and Ronan remain at my sides. With a cry of happiness, we launch at each other and embrace. Tears pour down my cheeks. Other people stir, realization quickly settling in. Then cheers ring out. Spotting Erica, the girl who gave Killian his tattoos, I push through the crowd. Have you seen Killian? I have to yell to be heard. No, I'm sorry. Eyes stark. She throws herself against me. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. How did you get here? I asked, pulling back. Business first. Last I heard, you were in the kennels. After you and Killian bonded, all of Killian's allies were gathered together and slaughtered. So he would have no one to rely on but Ambrosine. Ten. Lass! Killian. Joy causes every cell in my body to dance. He and Sloane maneuver around a group of girls. Too far. I run as fast as I can and hurl myself into his waiting arms. He buries his face into the hollow of my neck and breathes me in. You did it, Lass. You did it. We did it. All of us together. The others, they made it. Only Archer and Ronan. Fighting concern for their fates, I take a moment to breathe in my husband's peat smoke and heather scent. But the rest are still alive, somewhere in this realm. They must be. Have you seen Clay, Reed, or Dior? What about our mothers? Not yet, but... Shake. Shake. We frown at each other, as the shaking only intensifies. Overhead, dirt and debris begin to rain from the veil. I think Many Ends is crumbling. Archer comes up behind me. If we remain inside... I think I understand. This sub-realm grew to accommodate new arrivals. Now, because of the light, it knows the residents will be leaving. Many Ends is shrinking. No telling what will happen next. Get everyone to the water, I shout. It's our only way out.
Chapter 30. The more you care, the more you'll worry. Myriad. Killian. We urge the crowd into the lake, but there are millions of people present, spread out over the crumbling landmass left by the hills. Millions of others have already disappeared in the water, those who did not end up on a piece of land when the bright lights faded. We're ignored, and I'm not surprised. We're trying to make everyone in the entire realm do the same thing at the same time. Impossible. Most people run away from the water as the shaking intensifies, screams of panic erupting. Ten, being ten, starts shoving people into the water. Archer, Ronan, Sloane, and Erica follow suit. Everyone who enters disappears beneath the surface, as if sucked below, and yet the dead mermaids continue to float without interruption. Sloane! Erica! Ten says, shouting to be heard. The crowd will need a guide on the other side. Jump in and help them find their way out of Myriad. And they need out. There's going to be a battle. Troikan troops are going to invade. Let's get the innocent to safety. Sloane doesn't hesitate. She obeys, slipping under the water. Drawing in a deep breath, Erica trails after her. Those of us who remain, what are we going to do? I'm not sure why I cave to worry. Where there is light, there is a way. Vivid beams shine from above, sweeping people up, hundreds, thousands at a time, and carrying them to the water. The glorious sight of such brilliant illumination leaves me reeling. As I track Ten's movements, acting as her personal guard, I realize the beams are tracking us, those who entered Many Ends to free the damned. Charge through the crowd, I call. Whether she heard or not, I can set an example. I fling myself into the masses, and light accompanies me, picking up everyone around me. Dio! Archer sprints away, desperate to reach his girl. She's just as desperate to reach him. The two slam into each other and cling, as if the other could float away at any moment. We were right, she came back to life. A smile dawns on Ten's beautiful face, making her brighter than the beams.
Killian, she came back to life.
A smile dawns on my face. Despite the obstacles, opposition, betrayals, doubts, and uncertainties, she never gave up or let circumstances dictate her decisions. Though Many Ends is crumbling, its monstrous protectors are defeated. The condemned are free. Death has lost its victory. The grave has lost its sting. The collective sense of panic fades as more and more people are carried to the water and relief takes hold. Those who aren't picked up begin jumping into the lake on purpose. Archer returns with Dior at his side. Behind the couple are Reed and Clay. Ten embraces our newly revived teammates, her smile unwavering. Joy radiates from her. When there is no one left, the light coasts over us and lifts us off our feet. I take Ten's hand as we are eased into the water. Thankfully, the putrid liquid never reaches us. We're caught up in the eye of a storm, light our air and peace our shield. We come out the other side, the kennels, without a blip of trouble, and are placed on our feet. Cage walls surround us. I hate this place. I've been confined myself a time or 20, and the experience is scarring. Freedom is gone, your reputation in tatters, humiliation is the soup du jour. But the past is the past. I don't care what horrors I've suffered, as long as I have 10 by my side in the present and the future.
The cages are empty,
she says. She's right. The doors swing open. Why is no one scrambling to climb up or down to escape? The masses from many ends are gone as well. Sloane and Erica stand a few feet away, but though they are armed and ready, they have no one to direct.
The light carried everyone away,
Sloane says.
Burned through the locks on the cages, too,
Erica says.
Even the prisoners were carried away.
Where'd they go?
I demand. Troika, the land of the harvest, simply outside the Myriadian borders. The girls share a look before saying in unison,
I don't know.
Boom. We are thrown to the ground. Impact jars me. Spots wink before my eyes as air heaves from my lungs. Several of my bones break and pain consumes me, but I scramble over to Ten, who fell beside me. She's injured, but as quickly as the wounds appear, they heal. I cup her face the way I like to do and drink in this girl I love so dearly. Are you all right, lass? Tell me true.
I'm fine, I promise.
She kisses me before she stands and helps me do the same. The color in her cheeks deepens to a rosy pink until she's glowing, so bright I should probably, but won't, can't, look away.
Now to deal with Ambergene.
We can do it too. We can do anything. The brightness of her light might be more than I'm used to, despite our bond, and it might pain me even now, but it also strengthens me. As interconnected as I am with her, my life is hers, her life is mine. Together we are stronger. 1 + 1 = 2, the easiest problem with the simplest solution. The vibrations we felt inside many ends bleed into myriad, rocking us on our feet, or perhaps they originated here. Will the entire realm crumble? In the distance, a storm of darkness approaches, thick black clouds, writhing shadows, the echo of a thousand screams. In the center is Ambergene, drawing closer and closer. Wind whips at his hair, the strands tangling around his face. He is dressed in black leather and gold armor, many of his medals hanging at odd angles.
You!
His voice booms like myriad claps of thunder all at once, and it sounds as if there are other voices trapped inside his, each one crying for help. I cringe as I whip around, but scowl as I meet the narrowed gaze of my once-beloved king. Rage and power radiate from him. I feel the first wave of that power as it tries to send me to my knees. Gritting my teeth, I resist. Archer, Dior, Clay, and Reed line up behind Ten in a show of support. I remain at her side, and I dare anyone to try to move me away from her.
You did this.
Ambergene extends an accusing finger at me, perhaps Ten, perhaps both. Violence charges the air.
You, who are nothing, no one, you think you have the power to defeat me. A mistake, the last one you'll ever make, I assure you. You entered my realm, but you will not leave it.
Behind him stand Leonard, Victor, Hans, Javier, and G, as if they are part of some varsity all-star team of evil. A growl reverberates low in my chest. After every terrible thing these men did to Ten, a savage need to lash out invades every muscle in my body. My hands fist and I brace my legs apart. There will be a battle today. Nothing can stop it. I'll take no prisoners. Leonard holds a dagger in each hand. Victor is no longer inside a shell. Somehow he's fully healed. Maybe Ambergene is responsible. The effort could have cost him valuable energy. Hans is young, fresh in his teens, full of overinflated pride. Xi is wearing armor just like his king, as if he hasn't lost every bit of his battle skill by spending centuries behind a desk. A grinning Javier stretches out his arms. We'll wipe the floor with that smile. Shadows spray from his fingertips like poisoned gas and coil through the air. Denials screech inside my head as they zoom toward 10. Must protect my wife, whatever the cost. My beautiful, brave wife. Her life matters more than my own. Leaping, I move in front of her, only to fly backward as I collide with the darkness. As I crash land, 10 stretches out her arms, and light explodes around her, bright enough to make my eyes water. Light and shadow collide, shaking the entire realm. If I'd been standing, I would have fallen like everyone else. Both Javier and 10 flinch, but remain on their feet. The light manages to chase away some of the darkness behind the abrigate, revealing untold men and women, boys and girls climbing to their feet. Myriad's brand new varsity all-star team. No! Javier commands through clenched teeth. The crowd mimics Javier, arms stretched, shadows summoned. Anger chews me up, but dismay spits me out. The urge to pick up a dagger and just start slashing is fierce. I'd like nothing more than to take out each and every abrigate, and they are abrigates. Probably the ones from the warehouses I overheard 10 talk about. This group wasn't here when we first arrived. Hurting the people determined to harm your loved ones feels good. For a time. Wait, plan. What is best for my team? I need to take them out, 10? The words are meant as a warning, but they emerge as a question. If I act, death will reign. Exactly what my girl doesn't want to happen. Is there another way? A groan of exertion escapes her, and my hands clench. The shadow wielders might be new and inexperienced, but they are powerful, and they are bombarding 10 with darkness. Clearly. Sweat sheens her face, and strain pulls at her mouth. Her arms tremble. She's so strong, so determined. Seeing her weakened like this hurts me. How can I help her? What can I do? Archer, Clay, and Reed surround her, close their eyes, and impart their light to her. The beams brighten, and the abrigates waver. Color begins to return to Ten's cheeks. Relief threatens to wipe me out, but I can't take a single moment to bask. The abrigates must be stopped for good, before my wife is harmed irreparably. A war cry brews in my throat as I launch forward once again. I quickly pick up the pace, running, sprinting. Yes, yes, I can do this. I can help 10 without compromising our goals. Ours, not just hers. I'm in it to win it. Winning equals saving those we can. Light explodes through my veins as I dive at Javier, intending to take him out first. Noticing me, he tosses a shadow in my direction as if it's a javelin. That shadow nails me in the chest. Pain. My heart stops as I fly backward. Another crash landing steals the air from my lungs, but I don't care. What is pain in the face of victory? Back on my feet, I start sprinting again. This time I attack multiple abrigates from the side. Like pens hit by a bowling ball, rows collapse. Different clinks reach my ears, and I grin a cold grin. I know that sound. Fallen weapons. Where is... there. The glint of a sword. As my numerous victims lumber to their feet, sheer grit propels me to a sword. I swipe up the weapon, race forward, and fall to my knees. As I slide forward, I start hacking. Screams of pain mingle with bellows of shock. Bodies pile around me, and lifeblood pools. I purposely hobble the abrigates rather than rendering a single death blow. But mercy sometimes comes with a cost. They continue reaching out, casting shadows, hurting my girl. Rage packs its bags and moves into my chest, breathing for me. It is a fire that burns. Smoke fills my lungs, my nose, even hazes my vision. My heart wants to jump out from behind my ribcage and rest at 10's feet. I will save her, and if need be, I will not be nice about it. If my hand is forced, I will unleash pain like these abrigates have never seen. Mess with 10, suffer. Then a miracle happens. Logic supersedes emotion. I am no longer Myriadian, controlled by what I feel. I am 10's man. My rage cools as logic tells me I do not have to be worked into a foaming-at-the-mouth lather to unleash pain. I gave these abrogates a chance. they chose to continue harming Ten, as well as others. Now they will be disabled. Calm but focused, I hurry to my feet. The sword is an extension of my arm as I work my way through the crowd, removing arms, hands, and even legs. Painful blows, but if the abrogates get help in time, not fatal. A blast of darkness suddenly slams into me. Agony sears me as I'm hurled through the air. I crash land in front of Ambergene and skid backward. The sword flies from my vice grip, and I curse. Down, but not out. I will prevail. My former second king glides toward me. Bring it. Biscuit, Deacon, and Clementine appear in a blaze of glory just in front of me, carried on a beam of light, stopping him. I grin. Backup has arrived. Now the party can get started right. Biscuit will tear into anyone who threatens his charge. Then a Troikan general shoves through the crowd of abrogates, no one able to stop him. I recognize him. Alejandro Torres. At his side is... I tense. Lena Lockwood. Ten's killer. My killer. I don't know whether to take her out or thank her. Can we bring home this victory? My gaze finds Ten and my heart constricts. She's on her knees, color gone again. Any second she might fall flat on her face, and the realization devastates me. At least the shadows slither back, as if they too are weakening. Ten's head bows, then she goes still, and I think my heart stops. The shield of light fades. Biscuit gallops to her side, licks her face. You get strong now, Human. Now, I tell you. Deacon and Clementine take up posts of defense behind her. Lena crouches at Ten's left and Alejandro at Ten's right. I'm grateful that they're helping her, but she's my wife, mine to protect. I'm willing to give my life for her again and again and again. Panic drives me to her side. I push the general aside and link my fingers with Ten's. She's trembling. There's only one thing she needs, something I can give her. My light. What I have left anyway. Willingly. Gladly. Gratefully. I push the beams across our bond, and there are no obstacles to impede the transfer. Color returns to her cheeks once again, and the sweat on her skin dries. Relief makes me lightheaded. All of us, we are loyal to this girl, passionate about her safety. Because of her, we are free. Loyalty, passion, liberty, love. Myriadians. Trembling with rage, Ambergene points at Sloane and Erica. Return to your family or suffer the fate of the Troikans. He calls his own people by their realm. I grind my teeth. What are their names? I call. Do you know even one? The response is immediate and snapped. Names mean nothing. For years I loved this man and wished he had been my father. He never cared about me or any of us. I'll take that as a no. My tone is dry and prickly, but inside, I'm seething.
I am no longer Myriadian,
Sloane announces.
I hereby pledge my allegiance to Troika forevermore. Troika has my allegiance as well, now and always.
Erica nods, certain. She's a true friend I once treated poorly, but never again. Honest friends, those who are loyal to the end, are priceless. I can't afford to lose one. Think. If we have any chance of winning this, we need to take out Ambergene. To take out Ambergene, we need time to figure it out. I can buy us time. But first, I'm prompted by the grid to say, come up with a way to cull Ambergene from his abrogates and negate his powers.
Okay, sure thing, Ronan retorts. Not like that last task is utterly impossible.
One of my brows arches.
For Troikans, all things are possible, right? But go ahead, refute your realm's campaign promises.
A muscle jumps underneath his eye. Silence. Yeah, didn't think so.
Killian.
Ten lifts her head, an action that seems to require more energy than she currently possesses.
Know what? Planning. We'll find another way. Don't endanger yourself.
Her voice sends a thrill through me, trying to protect me even now. I caress her cheek, luxuriating in the softness of her skin before I stand. I'm doing this.
Hey, Ambergene, I call, my use of his name a dig at his pride. Remember me, or should I reintroduce myself? I'm Killian Flynn, your doom. Nothing mocks a supervillain quite like B-movie dialogue. He inhales sharply in a clear attempt to control his temper. Even if Myriad falls, Miss Lockwood will die this day. This time she will not come back. Must keep him talking. You can't stop us. You can't stop her. We already have. You just don't know it. He smiles now, smug. Javier found a way through her blocks. You. No, not in this lifetime. But even still, unease takes a swing at me. Unease has claws. I flinch. The new abrogates look to their king, unsure, and he offers a clipped nod. What are they going to... Shadows invade my mind in a burst, and a new surge of pain follows, my temples throbbing. I'm quaking as I clutch my head, my forearms pressing against my ears, my fingers weaving together and back. Fury burns through me, fury and fear, so much fear. What if they can use me to harm Ten? Sweat pours down my temples. Can't yield, not for a second. Again and again, I've watched Ten battle her fears. Most people cave, never realizing they were already defeated the moment, the very second, they stop fighting. I will not stop fighting, not now, not ever. As dust rains from above, I drop to my knees. A shadow springs from the Second King, wraps around my neck and yanks me across the way, until I'm kneeling directly in front of him. What did Ten say? Light is love and love is strength. I focus on my love for my wife and fight my way back to my feet. I'm panting, sweating, agonized. My teeth are clenched so tightly I fear my jaw will snap. Ambergene! Archer calls from behind me. No longer does he refer to the male as his father. Stop this!
Never,
the Second King replies.
Killian!
Archer again.
What do you want me to do?
I remember the days when we fought side by side, then the days we fought so hard to hurt each other. Now he's willing to risk his life to help me. Trust, loyalty, honor, love. They take the broken pieces inside me and help weld me back together again, giving me the strength to say,
let him continue.
Must find a way to use Ambergene's plan against him.
I'll win.
A taunt. A taunt that reaches its intended target. Eyes flashing with fury, Ambergene motions Javier over. The abrogate steps in front of me, flattens his hands on my temples, and sends his darkness whisking through my mind, an ice-cold gale force I struggle to resist, because at long last I see the shadows for what they really are. Bondage. These shadows do their best to tempt me, even as they barrage every barrier I erect. Let us in. We'll make everything better. All your pain will go away. Earn respect. Panic feels like 1,000 needle pricks against my skin. No, no, fight! So often Myriadians have claimed the Troikans are slaves to their rules, but all along, the opposite has been true. We served the will of greed, nothing more, ignoring the plight of others. We waxed poetic about luxury and frivolity, taking what we wanted, when we wanted. Sight and might equaled right. To us, the weak deserved their lot. Today, I'm the weak one. I need help, but my fellow kinsmen won't lift a finger in my defense. A bitter laugh sounds inside my head. Ten warned me this day would come. She said the weak do not stay weak and the strong do not stay strong. There's a constant ebb and flow, and we need each other to survive it. With a cry from deep in my soul, I push the shadows and their ice away from the grid, away from Ten and Troika. I am part of Troika. I might have shared what little light I had with Ten, but there must be more. The source of my light, buried deep, deeper. Yes, in this cold, oppressive darkness, a penprick of light beckons. I jolt. It is my connection to Ten. And Javier hasn't touched it. He can't. It's too bright, too pure. A smile blooms. Like a heat-seeking missile, I focus on the flames stretching out my hand. Knowledge comes, cutting through the shadows to glide across the grid. Light comes.
Once I thought Myriad had an intractable hold on me, but I was the one holding on to Myriad. No longer.